If you had cereal for breakfast and you didn't have anything else to read, you may have read the back of the box. And you may have looked at a little chart that's on a lot of packaged food, a chart that the FDA, the Federal Drug Administration, puts on all sorts of food stuff that reminds us of how much of each vitamin and mineral we need each day, and how much what we're about to eat will provide against that requirement. And there's many of those vitamins and minerals listed on these charts. And I want to zero in on one tonight. I told you what I was preaching about this morning, vitamin E. I want to mention, and again, vitamin E is usually not on the back of a cereal box. You don't usually get much vitamin E in cereal, but you get it from other things. But I want to read you the definition of vitamin E. Now, this is the definition of what it does in our bodies, but I want you to think about it in a spiritual sense. Because the things that I'm going to talk about tonight, I'm going to mention seven things tonight that we need to have in our lives as Christians from a spiritual standpoint. They all start with the letter E. And I want you to think how these things affect our spirit and our spiritual life like vitamin E affects our bodies. In fact, I'll talk a little bit more about that in just a second, and then at the end of my message. So here's what it says. Vitamin E is a fluid found in wheat germ oil that promotes fertility, prevents abortion, and is active in maintaining the involuntary nervous system, the vascular system, and involuntary muscles. Okay? So think about that from a spiritual sense. And again, we're going to talk about some things that start with the letter E that I'm going to refer tonight as a Christian's vitamin E. But these things that I'm going to talk about promote the reproduction of ourselves and other people. In other words, sharing Christ with other people and seeing them get saved, seeing them ask Jesus to be their Savior. It affects our nervous system. It gives us more nerve. It affects our vascular system, which is our heart. These things will give us more heart. It affects our involuntary muscles. It will give us more strength. And so as I mention these things, I want you to just think about how the things I'm talking about, the Christian's vitamin E, affects how we share Christ, how we love others, the nerve that we have to witness, and the strength that we have to keep on going. According to the chart, we need 30 IU per day, okay? 30 units a day of vitamin E. I take over 50 vitamin. I know some of you, it's hard to believe that I'm over 50, but I really am. I take a vitamin for those over 50, and in that multivitamin that I take, there's 33 IUs of vitamin E. And so I get 110% of what I need every day. But again, I want to mention seven things tonight. So if you were here this morning and you're here tonight, what a blessing. You get 17 points in one day. So you're getting almost, you're getting the equivalent of almost six three-point messages. But again, somebody mentioned this morning, said, boy, I'm surprised we're getting out at this time. I thought we'd go till 12:30 or quarter to 1. I try to be respectful of your time. I know you have dates at Halo Burger and various places, and so I want to get you there on time. So here we go. You can keep track of where we are and how far we got to go by the number that I'm on. The first thing that we need in our Christian life that starts that provides the vitamin E that we need is excitement. Excitement. An agitated state of mind. It's a moving of our soul and spirit. It's what goes on the inside when we realize what we have as part of the family of God. It's what David had when Goliath defied the armies of God and he said, is there not a cause? There was some excitement that built up in his soul when he heard this giant defiling God and defiling the armies of God. And he says, hey, I know what kind of God I have. And he got excited on the inside and he said, I'll go fight this guy. I'll show him that there is a God in heaven. It's what Jeremiah had. Brother Leonard mentioned it this morning in Sunday school. It's what Jeremiah when he said, "Hey, I tried to be quiet. I was taking so much ridicule for what I was preaching and teaching. I just decided I wasn't going to talk anymore about it." But he said, "There was something in my soul that was like a fire that was burning in my bones. And I had to speak again the word of the Lord." It's what Peter and John had when they stood before the religious rulers of the day. And they said, "Hey, we don't want you to talk anymore about Jesus. You're getting people too excited about him. Just be quiet. Don't talk anymore about him." And those two guys looked at those religious leaders and says, "We cannot help. We cannot help. But speak the things that we have seen and heard." Excitement is what every Christian ought to have when they remember what they have in Christ Jesus. We have salvation. We were sinners headed toward hell. And we had no hope. There was nothing that we could do. And Jesus died for us. He paid for my sins. He paid for your sins. I don't know about you, but when I think about that, I get an agitated state of mind and spirit. He died for me. Not only salvation, but we have justification. In God's sight, we are made just as if we never sinned. I can stand before God with a clean record. I can stand before God and there's no sin on my record. In fact, I have the record of Jesus Christ on my account. I have his righteousness. I have eternal security. He didn't just save me for today. He just didn't save me for tomorrow. He has saved me for all eternity. I can get excited about that. I can get excited about a Savior that not only saves me, but preserves me, defends me against the accusations of Satan, and gives me life more abundantly. Not just life. He said, "I just didn't come to give you life. I've come to give you life more abundantly." I can get excited about that. I can get excited about heaven. That place where there is, just think, in heaven, we'll never get tired. Amen. We'll never get worn out. In heaven, there will be no tears. In heaven, there will be no pain. In heaven, there will be no night. In heaven, there will be a street of gold. In heaven, we will get to be with our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I could spend the whole sermon tonight on this one point. There are thousands of things in every Christian's life that if you'll think about it, it will agitate your mind, it will agitate your spirit, and you'll have this portion of the vitamin E tonight. You will have the excitement when you remember and think about what you have as a member of the family of God. And the reason that there's Christians that aren't very excited is they don't spend much time thinking about what they got. They don't spend much time meditating on what God has given them as a Christian. And again, just think about it. How effective are we going to be in telling other people about Christ if we don't have any excitement? How much nerve are we going to have? How much strength are we going to have? How much heart are we going to have if we can't get excited about what God has given us in Jesus Christ? So number one, excitement. Number two, enthusiasm. Enthusiasm is a byproduct of excitement. It's what we see on the outside that lets you know that that person is excited on the inside. It's the works that show our faith. It shows up as we carry out the Great Commission and tell people about Jesus. It's not just a duty. It's a privilege. It's an opportunity to point the dying to life. It shows up, enthusiasm shows up in our singing. I told Brother Clyde this morning when I made that comment in Sunday school about if you're discouraged, call Brother Clyde up and have him just sing a song to you. And Denise mentioned it to me, and I told Brother Clyde, I said, "Brother Clyde, I want you to keep track of how many people call you and how many songs that you sing to encourage them." But listen, you can tell those that sing enthusiastically and you can tell those that just sing. You know, when we sing, And I'm talking about when we're here together. And it ought to be the same thing when you're singing in the shower or when you're walking in the field. There ought to be some excitement on the inside that shows up in enthusiasm on the outside. And when you sing, you ought to sing with all your heart and let what's on the inside out so that people that are sitting next to you and looking down the aisle and say, boy, that guy's got something. Don't know what it is, but he's got something. So it ought to show up in our singing. It ought to show up in our giving. The Lord doesn't, he loves a cheerful giver, an enthusiastic giver. Not somebody that gives grudgingly, but somebody that's enthusiastic about giving. Somebody that's enthusiastic in their praying. Man, I get to talk to the creator of the universe. I get to talk to the one that holds it all together. I get to talk to God. Man, just think about that when you pray. How can you help but not be excited and enthused about that? That you are talking to God. It ought to show up in our fellowshipping. When we come together in this place and we fellowship together, we're not just acquaintances, we're family. We're family. And we ought to come enthusiastically. And I know some of you don't want to be around your family, but there's not many people like that. Most of us enjoy getting together with our family. We enjoy getting together with our folks and our brothers and our sisters. And it ought to be the same way when we come here. We're getting together with family, and I'm excited and enthusiastic about that. Too many Christians look like they're on the losing team. Romans chapter 8 says, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I mean, you go to a sports event. College football is about to start. And you go to a college football game. People are excited and enthusiastic about their team. Why should we not be excited and enthusiastic about the things of God? They're cheering for a game that doesn't make any difference at all. That a week from now, a year from now, 2 years from now, it's not going to make any difference. But what happens with us in God can have eternal. I was glad Brother Leonard testified about his cousin. I mean, I can remember when he first testified, he was excited and showed up in his enthusiasm. And that enthusiasm has carried over. He's getting baptized tonight. How exciting is that? How wonderful is that? Why can't we be excited and enthusiastic about the things of God? Listen, we are on the winning team. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And that ought to light a fire on the inside, and there ought to be some smoke that shows up on the outside. And enthusiasm. Number three. And again, I want you to think about how this affects our witness. I want you to think about this, how these things affect our spiritual life. Number three is encouragement. Encouragement. Encouragement is what the writer of Hebrews is talking about when he says, let us consider one another to provoke, to stir up, to love, and to good works. We live in a wicked world, and that wicked sometimes is discouraging. The results of sin sometimes is discouraging. The seeming triumph of sin is discouraging. But you listen to me, the Word of God is true. It's true. The salvation of God is real. The promises of God are blessings. The Great Commission has not expired. The Holy Spirit has not moved back to heaven. He is still residing in us and empowering us to do what God has called us to do. And God is using us. We are his ambassadors. Let's remind each other of what we have. Let's stay in the Bible. Let's stay in prayer. And I mentioned it in Sunday school this morning. That's why two or three are better than one. The Bible says, if one falls, no one is there to help him get up. But if you're there with two or three and one falls, the other two can help him get up. If one gets cold, one can get cold. But if there's two there, you can snuggle together and stay warm. So let's keep the flames of excitement, let's keep the flames of enthusiasm stirred up in one another as we encourage one another in the Lord. Amen. Number four, endurance. Endurance. Endurance is keeping on, keeping on. It's not quitting. It's staying faithful. It's realizing that there is no discharge in this war. Paul tells Timothy, endure hardness. He said the Christian life is not a life of ease. There will be times that you'll have hard times. There will be days that you have hard days. And he says, endure affliction. Endure affliction. There will be heartaches. There will be sorrows. There will be sickness. There will be death. There'll be things that happen that we cannot understand, nor can we explain. But Paul said, Timothy, stay the course. Stay the course. Don't quit. Don't get discouraged. Stay the course. Paul, at the end of his life, says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. He said, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And the thing that kept Paul going, he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Paul said, you want to know what keeps me going? You want to know what kept me going all my life after I got saved, in spite of all the persecution and the stoning and the care of all the churches and the shipwrecks and all the things that I endured? You know what kept me going? I kept my eyes on Jesus. And I want to tell you tonight, I'm so glad that Jesus wasn't a quitter. I'm so glad when he stood before Pilate, he didn't quit. I'm so glad when he was in the midst of the soldiers and they whipped him and beat him and spit on him and pulled out his beard and pulled out his hair that he didn't quit. I'm so glad when they laid him on the cross and put nails through his hands and nails through his feet, he didn't quit. He was able to stay as he hung on that cross, as he finished the task that God gave him to do. It is finished. And we need, like Paul, to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ and endure, endure, endure to the end. There's nothing that destroys our testimony. There's nothing that destroys our ability to influence others for Christ if we quit. If we quit. No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. If we're saved, we ought to have a heartfelt desire to one day hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. You didn't quit. You stuck by the stuff. Number five, exhortation. Exhortation goes beyond encouragement. Again, the verses that we read from Hebrews. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Here's what exhorting is. Exhorting is giving the facts. Giving the facts. Giving the information. Giving it with the fire of God, giving it with energy, giving it with urgency, giving it with excitement, giving it with enthusiasm, and telling people what they ought to do with that truth. It's what I tried to do this morning. It's what I'm trying to do tonight. It's what I try to do every time I stand in this place. I try to exhort you. I give you truth from the Word of God. It is true. I give you truth from the Word of God. And then I try to tell you what you ought to do as a result of that truth. The Bible tells us in the last days that people will have itching ears. And they'll want preachers that will tickle or itch their ears. In other words, they will want preachers to tell them what they want to hear. They will want preachers to tell them, hey, you're okay. There's nothing in your life you need to change. You're fine just the way you are. And they want, when they leave a service, to feel good about themselves. Now listen, I've mentioned this many times before. When you leave this place, I don't want you to feel good all the time. I want you to feel good some of the time. But some of the time, I want you to feel like you've just been rung through the ringer. Now, some of you don't know what I mean by that, but when I was a little boy, I helped my grandma do the laundry every Monday. It was an all-day affair. She had a little washer that went round and around, and then she didn't have a dryer, but she had these two cylinders that rolled together, the wringer. You rolled your clothes through those wringers to squeeze out all the water. I know I'm dating myself, but you run the clothes through those two cylinders that rolled together, and you wrung the water out, and if it wasn't raining, you hung them up outside, or if it was raining, you hung them up down in the basement. Now, if you got your finger stuck in that wringer, it hurt. It hurt bad. And there's some times when we come to this place, and I do. I mean, I preach to myself. I was preaching to myself this morning. When I left this morning, I felt like I'd been run through the ringer because I needed what I heard this morning, even though I knew what I was going to preach. I needed it. There's some times we ought to feel like we've been run through the ringer. And that's not me, that's God. That's not me, that's the Holy Spirit pointing out things in your life that ought to change, things in your life that ought to improve. You don't want to go to the doctor and there'd be something wrong with you and the doctor say, well, you're okay. Nothing's wrong. You're fine. If there's something wrong, you want the doctor to tell you the truth. You want the doctor to exhort you. Here's the truth. Here's what you need to do to fix it. It will serve you no purpose. If you got a doctor that makes you feel good every time you go, you ought to get a new doctor. I mean, the least you ought to tell you, you need to lose some weight. Mine tells me every time I go. But we need doctors that exhort us. We need doctors that will tell us the truth. We need doctors that will tell us what we ought to get, ought to do with that truth. Listen, we need preachers and we need churches that still preach against sin, that call sin sin and say there's a penalty for that sin and we're going to pay the penalty if we turn our back on Jesus Christ and never come to Him as our Savior. Hell is a real place. It hasn't gone away. There's some people trying to take it out of the Bible. Say, we don't want to offend people talking about hell. I'd rather offend people into hell than make them feel good and die and go to hell. Sometimes we'll apply the balm of Gilead. And we'll talk about how much God loves us and what He does for us when we hurt. But there are times when we ought to feel the prick of the ox goad. That long pole with the nail on the end of it, that those that tended the oxen would prick the ox in the neck to keep them on the straight and narrow way. I wish I could say we were all perfect people and we never got off the straight and narrow way. But I know myself, I know many of you, we need the Holy Spirit to prick us. We need exhortation. Number six, we're almost done. Two more to go. Example. Our walks need to match our talk. The Bible says faith without works is dead. What we have on the inside ought to affect how we order our lives on the outside. Paul tells Timothy, be thou an example of the believers. We ought to be different than the world. We ought to abstain from all appearance of evil. We ought to be a holy, peculiar people, a narrow way kind of folk. They called Christians first, people were called Christians first at that city called Antioch. And they called them Christians. It was really a term of ridicule. They said, well, you're just little Christ. You're little Christ. What a compliment that they were giving those folks at Antioch. What a compliment it would be for somebody to say about us, you're just like Jesus. We ought to be an example. And then number seven, exaltation. It's really the natural result of all the other six. I praise the Lord. I worship Him. I exalt Him. I hold Him up in reverence and awe. And that's what we ought to do when we realize what we have in Jesus Christ. And we realize the opportunities that He gives us to serve Him. We ought to sing that little chorus that the choir sometimes sing. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before Him. Heaven and earth adore Him. What a mighty God we serve. Now again, I'm done. But I want you to think about these things. I want you to think about how if we have them, or how if we lack them, how it affects our witnessing. How it affects our heart. How it affects our strength. How it affects the nerve. And so I ask you tonight, how's your vitamin E? Are you getting enough? Do you have enough? Every single one of us could get more of any one of these things. For a Christian, we can get more of any one of these things. Let's make sure that we don't have a vitamin E deficiency. Now listen, if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've heard tonight, you've heard the gospel. You're a sinner. There's a penalty for that sin. Wages of sin is death. Jesus, when He went to the cross, He paid for every one of your sins. And He offers as a gift to every single person that will come and take it, the gift of eternal life. If you're here tonight, now I don't know, as I look around, I think everybody's saved, but I don't know. If you're here tonight and you're not sure, you're not sure you're on your way to heaven. I was talking to, got to visit with Peggy Douglas a little bit this afternoon, and she was talking about her brother. Her brother's Bob Evans, not the Bob Evans that we eat at, but that's his name, Bob Evans. And Peggy doesn't know for sure that he's saved. And she says, I pray for him. Every time I see him, I give him a track. I talk to him about, he's got two sons that have preceded him in death, that both of them were saved. And she said, Bob, don't you want to see your boys again? And she just goes after him time after time after time after time after time. She wants them to get saved. Helen, she talked about you and how long you prayed for her and how long you prayed for Harold and Betty. And she said, Helen is my example. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to give up. You may be here tonight and somebody has talked to you about the Savior. Somebody's praying for you to get saved. I can't think of a better time to do it than right now. Amen. Than right now. And so if you're here and you've never received Christ, you come in just a second and we'll take the Bible, show you from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be your Savior. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Help us to examine our lives, Father. If we're lacking in any one of these things, help us just to go ahead and decide to get more, to get more. I pray if there is somebody here tonight that doesn't know Christ, tonight they'll come and receive Him. Just speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Do in us tonight what only you can do. We give ourselves to you. We wouldn't be here tonight unless we wanted you to work. And so we just give ourselves to you and ask you to work in our lives and give us what we need so that we can be better servants of you. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.